Welcome to Hairless in the Cloud, our last podcast of the day. And Jan, you brought something very someone very special.
Yeah, absolutely. An old friend of mine. She's very young, but we know her for quite a while now. We met her the first time at Ignite Orlando. I think it was, when was it? 2019?
Yep. 19, yeah. Was it? 2019, yeah.
And had the pleasure to have an interview with you there. Kim Kischel, thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's really great to see you again and see how you have developed in the meanwhile. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the position you've had there.
Yeah.
And then what happened in between?
Sure thing. Yeah. So like you said, we met last time, 2019 at Ignite, which was probably also November-ish.
Yeah.
And back then I was on what then was called Microsoft Cloud App Security. It's now called Microsoft Defender for Cloud Apps as part of our Defender portfolio. And I actually left Microsoft shortly after the event because I wanted to move to San Francisco. And pre-COVID, that wasn't an option. You were in Seattle or, you know, you kind of had to go find another company to work at. And so worked for Atlassian, worked for a security startup for like a couple of years. And that was a lot of fun. But then felt like coming home. So went back to Microsoft, went back to Microsoft security team. And I've been back almost 3 years, actually. I think in March it'll be three. And now I kind of run the product marketing team for our XDR solution. So that's endpoint, identity, identity security, not the intro part. Defender for Cloud Apps, and then email security.
Cloud also? Defender for Cloud?
No, that's separate. So our cloud security team is separate. It feeds into our XDR. We can talk about that as of this week. But no, that's a dedicated team because it's a huge audience. It's a huge like product suite in itself, what we do with CNAPP and cloud security. So not that part.
Okay. Yeah, cool. I mean, you just said it. There's another child in the family when you look from it in the perspective of Defender for 365 or XDR or whatever you call it at the moment. I'm so sorry for that. There's a new child. There's now Defender for Cloud also ingesting into this portal. So you're bringing everything together, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's like one of the biggest journeys that we've been on to really have. So Defender, like I know it feels like we do a lot of renaming, but Defender is really the one brand that means security inherently. And then, of course, we have Sentinel as the only outlier, but Defender means security for something.
It is.
At the end of the day. And so in our XDR, essentially what we're now doing is we're just bringing all of the relevant signals together natively without any integration by the customer, without any manual work. You have the product deployed, it feeds in. And so today that's Defender for Endpoint, Defender for Office 365, email and team security, Defender for Cloud Apps, all the SaaS stuff, Defender for Identity, on-prem identity, Entra feeds in, of course, like all of the Entra signals, Entra ID, identity protection, but also as of this week, Defender for Cloud, as you mentioned. So that's all the cloud workload stuff. And that's Azure, GCP, AWS, whatever you use it for, and Purview as well. So DLP alerts, user risk, that type of thing. So all of that is correlated into the same incident experience.
And to make the picture complete, there's another announcement bringing also the other tool you just mentioned into the game. So Sentinel will also be part of it.
Exactly. So we've spent so much time building an incredible XDR, and we should talk about how ours is unique. But we also have this really great SIM product, Microsoft Sentinel, and SOC teams need them both together. They both have their own value and, you know, core capabilities. But this week we announced that we're actually bringing them together into a single experience. So that means single incident queue, single correlation of alerts, right? All the goodness you get from XDR that's built in and automated with all of the flexibility that Sentinel brings of like feeding in data sources, building additional automation, storing data for however long you want to. And so, yeah, that's super exciting. A lot of customers
want it today. It. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
we are testing it for quite a while in the mean, but we are really excited about that. So actually, I can remember that like 2 or 3 years ago, I was talking with the product guys from Israel about this.
Yeah.
Because, of course, customers are asking us why are there two portals or three portals or how much or ever they were. They want to see it together. And yeah, this is the logical step. And it's also, I think it's quite a big differentiator to your compete. Nobody can offer something like that, to be honest.
No. And like, even if you think about RxDR alone, right? Most other security vendors, they have like 2.2 per, like, of the solutions that we have in there, right? Mm. I just listed them. And so we have this native breadth that just works together as one. And now bringing Sentinel in, that's why we're saying, hey, it's a unified security operations platform, unified SecOps platform, because it is truly unified. It's not, like, I think Vasu said it today, 80 tools is still normal to have for security from what we're seeing in customer environments. And that's just work manually bringing that together.
And if you think about what kind of information, I mean, you just made a list, what kind of information comes together at this place in this one portal, from compliance over cloud to the network, from firewall locks or whatever, everything together at the fingertips of the analysts.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about having that and seeing it grow over the time, seeing more improvement, more integrations even. But I think you have built now the basis for that. And really, really happy to bring that to our analysts and make their lives easier.
Yeah. And that's our goal. We like you know this, you talk to our product team a lot, but you know, they spend a lot of time with security teams to learn what do they need, how do they work today, what is hard, so we can build against that.
Yeah.
And that's the next thing.
Okay, but let's take a step back. Now we have talked about the holistic view on that, but let's go back to the XDR thing. What do you think? Why do you think you are here in a better position than your compete? Where are the differentiators?
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, let's. I mean, some of it is recent. Some of it we've been working on for a really long time. Mm. Like I mentioned, the native breadth, that's like our number one differentiator, right? Like no other XDR has kind of that level of coverage out of the box. Yes, they call it open XDR, at which point I would ask, well, isn't it just a SIP, like something that's trying to be a SIM to a degree, right? Because you need a connector, you need an API. There is manual components and integration, and they don't, you didn't build the signal, so it works different, right? Versus for us, the native breadth, first differentiator right there. And the second piece, and I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, is what we call automatic attack disruption. And that's really what we think is a game changer when it comes to automation for security teams, that I don't think is anywhere else on the market right now. Any other XDR player has like a similar construct. And so, you want me to quickly explain?
Absolutely,
what it is?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So essentially, attack disruption is a automation, intelligent automation, to deal with advanced attacks. And so when I say advanced attacks like ransomware, business email compromise, if we think about cloud-based attacks, adversary in the middle attacks, and we've essentially, our research team analyzed a lot about, well, what is the attack flow when these attacks happen? Like, what is the typical sequence, you know, when you think MITRE framework and, you know, the different steps that happen from initial access to, you know, collection to exploit ultimately. And what is the typical like attack behavior across domains? And that's where your XDR comes in, right? Because you're starting maybe with a phishing email in a ransomware attack that then moves, you know, to has the identity for initial access. They have the valid credentials. They're in your network. Then moving into apps to collect data, collect information, obviously trying to compromise an endpoint. And so already you're crossing so many different asset types that if you have four different tools that look at each asset type, you are going to have to do the work to correlate it. And so with attack disruption, what we do is our research team understands the typical movement and behavior, and they've built automation that's constantly being adapted to the latest behaviors to ultimately understand the progression and the alert sequence that comes from all the different solutions to then take definitive action when we have like 99%
probability
certainty that, hey, there's a ransomware attack active in your environment. we're going to do two things. We're going to disable the user account and we're going to take the device and isolate it. We call it contain, which essentially means it can't communicate with the network anymore, even if it's an unmanaged device, which is the cool thing. So even unmanaged devices can get like isolated from the network.
Have you heard that? Do you know how that is working? So even an unmanaged device gets isolated from the rest of the network. So think about it. How can that happen if you have no power over it? So what you can do is you have no power over this device, but you have power over the rest of the devices. So you can tell them, don't talk to the citizen anymore. Yeah. You know, that's quite cool.
Talking about unmanaged, I'm always thinking it is not mentioned in June. That's not different.
If it doesn't have Defender for Endpoint managed, basically. Right. Yeah. And so then it's, like Jan said, telling everybody else, don't talk to it.
Yeah.
So,
It sounds a little bit mean, but okay.
Yeah. And so then, you know, we always get the question, well, isn't that just SOAR? Like, I can build automation there. And, right, my answer to that is always, like, in theory, you could. You would have to have, like, a full-time team of research analysts like we do that build an automation every time that says when A, then B, right? Versus the models that we're building are a lot more sophisticated because they're about attack progression, about the combination of signals, about the types of alerts that get triggered in the system to really then take the action. And my favorite story is always we had it in like 6 months ago when it was in private preview. It was running in one of our customers and they had a red team come in. And so very few people knew that the red team was coming in. And attack disruption stopped the red team. And so they got really annoyed. We love to tell the story because, you know, it worked. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. And so, and the last thing I'll say is, like, for customers, automation is sometimes scary because they're like, well, how can I trust this and not have false positives, false negatives? And, we have, like, it's like 99.6.
That's important fact. Yeah, I was talking about the product group about this fact, and I think it's really important to stay here. You know, I mean, it can be how can I say that? It can be from a product group perspective. You could think about, hey, we should do this in more cases. We should do this maybe at a lower certainty. Yeah. So to cover more cases, but you should not go that road. You should go the road of trust. And if you go the road of trust, that means that you have to have a high certainty whenever you are doing such big disruptions.
Yeah. Yep. And my favorite part about this is, like, despite the worry about automation, because we've proven it out with so many customers, it's actually one of the first things that are related to automation where customers are like, when are you going to cover more scenarios? Like, absolutely. We actually want you to do more because we've seen what it can do. And then, I don't know, did you guys see our announcement about deception capabilities and endpoint?
But maybe one last sentence to that.
Yeah.
We saw it in our SOC. We saw it actually a couple of days after it got public. So we saw it in our customer tenants that it happened and stopped an attack. So really great thing.
Yeah. And, like, we are doing everything to make it really visible for the SOC. So, like, in the queue, there are specific tags that say attack disruption. So you can find them. Every incident where attack disruption was at play, like where the system automated something, there's like a big yellow bar at the top. So there's visual cues all over.
Yeah.
And there are controls.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was a little bit of a strange thing for the analysts. They saw, oh, okay, it did it.
Yeah.
even if they know about it will come. So it was a little bit strange at the beginning, but it was very well accepted and they loved it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, less work for them.
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know? Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. The decoy stuff you wanted to talk about, right?
Yes. And the reason I wanted to talk about it was because it fuels our attack disruption even better. So, I mean, quickly, deception built into Defender for Endpoint. Really cool. So, like, any P2 customer has it now, like, readily available, rolling out.
What is it doing?
Yeah. So, it's essentially allowing you to create a fake attack surface. So essentially what we're doing is we're saying, like, hey, we're going to help you create what we call decoys in Lore. So fake hosts, fake users are the decoys. And then lures, think of them as like breadcrumbs, like digital breadcrumbs, where it's like documents or batch files, that type of thing that look like they might contain high value information to get the attacker in and drive them to the decoys ultimately. Now, the cool thing is you don't, like, that's not net new technology. Like, that exists in like standalone solutions, but then you need a network sensor. Then oftentimes you have to do the work manually. You have to deploy decoys and the sensors. And so it just, a lot of companies don't, because it's a lot of work. It doesn't communicate with the core endpoint system. It doesn't complement the EDR easily. And so here it's actually the generation of decoys in Lore is just automated because we use ML to understand your environment. What's the naming conventions? What does it look like? And so we just generate them for you and deploy them into your network. And they're also kept up. So like if they're expiring, if they're getting outdated, they get automatically updated to like keep them relevant, if that makes sense, so they don't outdate. So then that's where attack disruption comes in. The cool thing is everything that's a deception created asset, nobody should be touching that, right? Because it's not a real thing. And so when someone does, it's a 100% fidelity signal that there's an attacker in your network. And so attack disruption benefits from that. Because when that happens, we can, to your point, act even earlier in like disabling a user account, disabling a device, containing it. And so that's like more steps we're taking to make it better.
Yeah. So I imagine a world where the SOC analysts are just sitting there in front and just watching the game.
I think that would be awesome.
I will. It will not happen. But of course, it will be a tool for the analysts. So we were a couple of times today talking about this exoskeleton that is put on by the analyst, and it is just amplifying his skills and his work. So this is a little bit an analogy for the whole Copilot stuff, I would say.
Have you seen the Copilot in the Defender?
So we have we are in the private preview for quite a while. And testing it out. So we are fans.
What's your favorite bit capability?
Building own skills, building own capabilities, being able to use them immediately. So because if you are starting using Security Copilot, you get inspired. You have new ideas. And then you can write a new skill and bring these ideas to life. And then the other thing is what I really like, is that you can bring so many, areas together, internal areas. You were talking about Purview, but then we have also Intune, you have Entra ID and stuff like that. You can bring all those things together, to the surface of one single prompt. And you can even bring external data sources into the game, and you can mix them together and correlate them. So this will be, in the future, I think this will be a really absolute game changer.
Yeah.
So for me as a call-up guy, what I see and I get from the videos, what I really liked, and I think we talked in one of the podcasts today about it, is some of the boring stuff. So the generation of the PowerPoint, I think that was one of the features of Copilot, to summarize it, give a dumbed down version, so more people are able to understand it. So that's what I think is really, you're talking about the analyst doing nothing, just exporting the PDF or the PowerPoint and just handing it over. So this is really where I think this is, it must be a really boring job to do this kind of work after an incident, and to this in a more automated fashion. This, from my side, sounds amazing.
I mean, one of my favorite bits is also, like, you talked about the, like, I guess what we call somewhat standalone experience where everything comes together in this like prompt interface. When you look at the more embedded experience that sits like right in the Defender portal, I think like my favorite is one, the like code analysis. So when you have malicious code in the environment, it just like reverse engineers what it actually is supposed to do, which is like,
like what a PowerShell script is doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like 500 lines of code or whatever in like a couple of seconds to tell you what it is. Versus you talk about boring work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like talk about boring work, reading code line by code line to figure out what is the script supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the knowledge. I think that's all the way what you talked in one of the sessions where exactly you need a lot of skill and has a lot of skilled people, but getting through this, and there must be obfuscations in there that are hard to read.
Yeah.
Deciding what line is important or not.
Yeah, I mean, these are all cool things. I like them too, and they will really make the life of analysts more easy.
Yeah.
But what I was talking about is more like the vision behind it, bringing all those data sources together. This is a bigger thing, even.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Because just because Jan is doing not the incident, he's just looking at the reporting KPIs. Sure, it's
Well, I mean, there's everything, you know, needs to come together. And you see that in product, Copilot is obviously like almost accelerating that to a degree, right? So helping you cut through, you know, any of the seams that you have between products. So yeah, no, I'm completely with you. But then personally, I also get really excited about the incident experience. So.
Yeah, sure. And it will be cool, of course. Yeah. Yeah, Kim, anything else you would like to talk about? Anything else you have talked about on the conference maybe, or that's coming up in the next time that's important for you?
Yeah, I mean, maybe just one more thing, and this is slightly different from, you know, the Defender SOC specific conversation, but we actually, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but we also announced AI is awesome, like it can do so much for us, but people are also worried about, how do I do that securely? Like, I want to empower people, but also I'm really worried about it. And so we actually released AI specific security capabilities and compliance capabilities in Defender and Purview, which I don't know if you saw, but basically we can like discover over 400 LLM apps now, generative AI apps, as like a new category in Defender for Cloud Apps, to go back to my roots, which is really cool, with the risk profile of like across over 40 security factors, compliance factors, etc. And then also to say, well, allow or block that in my organization right from the get-go, right? Like we'll tell you Google Bard, yes, that's secure, or Bing Chat, that's secure. And then you have like a slew of apps that
sanction and unsanction.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And it's the same thing we've been doing for years, but just we've created a dedicated category for generative AI, and it has over 400 apps in it today. And obviously that's just going to keep growing as the market keeps growing. And then with Purview, that's like the starting point. Like, let me just control the interface of AI. And Purview is actually now already deeply embedded with the whole label sensitivity. Like, you take something, put it into an AI app, it either gets automatically labeled Copilot, for example, or they just don't allow the copy pasting based on existing labels. So like Copilot and Purview, and they actually did the demo live today. Copilot worked and all of the sensitivity label adjustments. And it's really cool. And customers, that was like probably one of the biggest things customers wanted to know more about, because everyone's concerned they're going to lose their data. Yeah.
Sounds really interesting. Yeah, I'm really curious where this is going all, and what we will talk about in 1 year's time when the next Ignite is.
I know what we will, but we should.
I think what you mentioned feedback, Lavanya mentioned about feedback. I think that's giving it out to the people, and I've heard so many good things about Jan. He's providing excellent feedback, but spreading it out to even more people, because there are so many perspectives.
Sascha yesterday said all of this was more or less developed within 10 months or so at the end. So, you know, looking at in the future, for the next 12 months, what will happen then? You have the basic now. So I'm really curious what will happen in the next 12 months and what we are talking about then. I hope you will still be in the company at this point in time.
Well, who knows? What startup comes next? Yeah. We're going to have more AI and more AI to secure.
Yeah, so absolutely. There you go. Kim, it was really a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Really fun. To see you again.
Thank you very much. And hope to see you soon back.
Yeah, 1 year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Bye-bye.